I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Daniel chapter 10. While you're turning there, it's so good to see the good crowd that we have again tonight. Those not only of this local church, but all the others that have come to visit and lend their support, benefit from these meetings. Especially good to see all of the ministers that are here. And I salute you in Jesus' name. Father, honor and admire the work that you are doing in the kingdom of God. Feel safe with good men around you. Praise God. It's also good to see a few folks here tonight from our own church in Sulphur, Louisiana. And, of course, I prepared them beforehand and told them not to come and expect anything new. I refuse to preach anything anywhere else that I won't preach at home, either before or after. So chances are they're just going to be getting more of the same tonight. But that's all right. They need to hear it again anyhow. Daniel chapter 10, and I'm reading beginning with verse 1. I feel a little different direction tonight. I hope that the Lord will help me to deliver this to you. Beginning with verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 4 and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. Behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold and beautiful. His body also was like the barrel, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I have come for thy words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. My subject tonight may be somewhat peculiar, but I feel that of the Lord tonight. And I want to speak to you on this subject, the kings of Persia. The kings of Persia. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I have again read a little more text tonight than I usually do, simply because it helps to shorten the foundation and background that I must give. You understand now the context of this happening. But just for a little more background, of course you all know that the people of God have reached a backslidden condition, have been warned of the Lord numerous times that if they did not repent, He would lead them into captivity, and they refused to believe it. To the day that Babylon, the great terror of the earth, did come and besiege them, and defeated God's people, and rubbleized their cities, and destroyed the temple, and took many captives back into Babylon. And we all know the little stories that are taught in Sunday school about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refusing to bow down to the idol. And then the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And we call them the Hebrew children. Well, at the time that this passage occurs, they are not children anymore. In fact, about 70 years has passed from the time that Daniel was first led to Babylon as a young boy, a slave. He is now up in years, an elderly prophet of God. Much has occurred. The Babylonian Empire has been overthrown and overtaken by the Medes and the Persians. And this occurrence happened, as the Bible said, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And in the midst of all of this, Daniel receives some visions and dreams that set him to seeking the Lord for interpretation and understanding. And in the process of one of these searchings, the Bible says that he set himself to pray and fast and to chasten himself that he might understand the vision. And he has been now 21 days into this prayer and fasting before this occurrence takes place. I want to impress three things on you tonight. And if you'll forgive me, I'm not going to be able to go as hard and as fast as I would like. I'm limited this evening by the weakness of my voice, but I hope that you will listen to me. And the first of the things that I want to impress upon you is, number one, the power of prayer. I wrote with great pleasure tonight that the first thing that this messenger says to Daniel was, "Thy words were heard." I want you to know again tonight, we do not pray in vain. We are not wasting our time when we talk to the Lord. Every time you open your mouth to speak unto Him, your words are heard. Hallelujah. Oh, dear Jesus, help me tonight. Somehow in this faithless society and generation, we have reached the point where we don't pray very much anymore. For one thing, we have so many substitutions for prayer. We have so many other props that we can fall back on. But another reason is that somehow the enemy has convinced us that we are not accomplishing anything when we pray, simply because we may not feel the magnetism or the surge or the power that we would like to feel every time that we pray. Lord have mercy, all of a sudden I feel the Holy Ghost. I preach something often in our own church. I'm not going to call it a revelation, but it's simply a new realization that hit me quite some time ago now, when I was reading the Word of God, and I came across a verse of Scripture that is well known to all of us. But I believe it is one of the greatest promises that we have in the Word of God. And it simply says this: draw nigh unto God, and He will. I said He will draw nigh unto you. It's not a maybe, it's not a might, and it's not a perhaps, but it is a 100% guarantee. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Just because you don't feel the electricity that you like to feel every time you worship God, just because you don't feel the power that you like to feel every time you lift your hands, just because you don't feel the quickening every time you bow your knees, the Bible said, if you draw nigh to God, He will. That means every time you pray, every time you worship, every time you reach out to God, there is a corresponding activity that takes place from the presence of the Lord. You are not wasting your time when you pray. Hear me, you that seek for the Holy Ghost and think you'll never get it. Every time you come to this altar, you're accomplishing something. Every time you open your mouth to talk to God, you are that much closer to Him. It is a guarantee from God. He will. He will. Everybody say, He will. He will draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, no, no, right now. Praise God. Because sometimes we think that we pray in vain. Oh, Jesus. I read another scripture in the book of Psalms that says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Let me give you a little secret tonight. The God that sits upon high, and nothing is hid from Him. Look, do you know how depressed you get every time you pick up the newspaper and read the headlines of all the terrible things that have occurred in the previous 24 hours? But my friend, that's just the surface of what has actually occurred. God sees everything in this whole world that takes place on every street, under every housetop, in every dark alley. He sees every immoral act. He hears every vulgar word. He beholds every vile thing that the children of man do. Don't you think in the midst of all that corruption, God's eyes are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry? You are special to God. In the midst of all of that vileness, don't you think God is going to take notice when you bow down on your knees and say, God, I need you today? He will move heaven and earth to hear and answer your prayer. Do you understand what took place here? This angelic messenger said, I am come for thy words. For thy words. He did not just come because God sent him. He said, I have come for my words. It was your prayer that triggered this visitation. It was your prayer that moved heaven and caused me to come. It was because you took the time to seek after the Lord that brought this heavenly visitation, a messenger direct from the throne of God. You don't think your prayer has power? Think again. Hallelujah. Prayer sets the forces in motion. We are not alone in this room tonight. There are spiritual forces that are also filling this atmosphere. And they are all around us. And when you pray, it sets those forces in motion. Sincere and earnest prayer will bring a heavenly response. The Bible tells about the man Elisha. And it says, Elijah, he was a man subject to like passions, even as we are. And yet he prayed. And yet he prayed. And yet he prayed. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again. And the heavens opened up. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, be effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Can I tell you tonight, it may not make all the difference in the world, but the Bible said, in a famous match, don't sell yourself short. Don't feel that you're a lonely voice. Be a maximal, private prayer of a righteous man, a famous match. Praise God. And he said, from the very first day that you set your heart to pray, I will set to you. You might think God waits a long time. Now I'm getting into real primitive territory here. But that's all right. Some of us need to hear this. From the very first day, he had been hungering out for 21 days. And then this angel says, from the very first day, your prayer was heard. That leads me to the second thing I want to talk to you about tonight. And that is the power of the opposition. This angel said, the prince of Persia withstood me. I know I'm wandering into a theological minefield right now. And there's probably going to be some that are going to disagree with me. Some of you Bible scholars and wizards are going to probably have the definitive answer. If you do, I'll be happy to hear it after church. But right now, I'm preaching. Of Persia withstood me 21 days. I don't know how that strikes you. Somebody said, somebody perhaps might think that this was just a man, that it was just the earthly king of Persia that had this power. I beg to differ with you. This, as far as I am concerned, because the Bible makes it clear in other visitations to Daniel, that it was the Archangel Gabriel. I'll have you know, the Archangel Gabriel was no ordinary angel. If there is such a thing as an ordinary angel, that word just doesn't fit when you're talking about angels. But the Archangel Gabriel was no ordinary angel. And I cannot fathom any one man, no matter if he's an Adolf Hitler, having the power to hold off an angel from heaven for 20 in one day. No, sirree. I believe that this was a demonic power that ruled and covered the territory of Persia. The Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's got all his imps and cohorts. Don't forget that when he rebelled against God, he was cast out with one third of all of the angels in heaven. Now let me give you a little appreciation of how many that is. The book of Revelation talks about those future events, and it speaks of a company of angels so numerous it was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The most conservative estimate places that number at over 200 million angels. That's approximately the population of the United States of America. And there's probably a whole lot more than that. That's the angels that were left. But the devil brought one third of the angels in heaven down with him. They're not just sitting somewhere in some recreation room having a good time among themselves. They are working in this world in which we live. And I don't know, again, I'm probably taking some big leaps in theological logic, but I believe that there are these princes of the power of the air that have signed the kingdoms and territories. And the archangel said, the prince of Persia, which stood me for 21 days. Now let me again try to impress on you this power. The Bible tells me that in one place Hezekiah was besieged by the armies of the Assyrians. And they were so confident of victory, were the Assyrians, that Sennacherib sent a letter to Hezekiah. And he said, buddy, oh boy, don't even worry about praying. Because we went up against this country and that country, and they prayed to their gods, and their gods were not able to deliver them, and neither will your God be able to deliver you. And the Bible said Hezekiah took the letter into the temple, and he laid it down, and he said, God, here's what the man is saying about you. Hallelujah! God, in essence, said, step aside, Hezekiah. This is not your fight. He's picked on you. And God calls the prophet to speak against Sennacherib and said, let me remind you, young man, that the kingdoms that you destroyed, you only destroyed them because I gave you the power to do it. If I wouldn't have helped you, you wouldn't have done it. I know where you live, and I'm going to take you right back there with a hook in your nose. And then God whistled up. I wish I could whistle, like some folks can. Whistled up one angel. Sick. In one night, one angel of the Lord stepped into the camp of the Assyrians and slew 185,000 hardy, seasoned men of war. One angel. And this was no ordinary angel that had come to Daniel. This was an archangel. And he said, the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. And in fact, I haven't even with them yet. But God sent reinforcements. Michael, one of the chief of the princes, came to take up the battle so that I could come on with your message. And when I get through I've got to go back and take up the struggle. That's how great this power of opposition was. Oh, I've got you wondering now. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. I remember my father telling me one time when he went into a little town in South America called San Vicente to start a church. And he was there in a little house that they had rented. And he was praying in a darkened room one day. And he said, while he was praying, he suddenly felt that something had stepped into the room with him. And there was a sudden feeling of cold fear that swept over him, a chilling feeling that filled that room. And he turned around, and in that darkness, he could not make out details or features, but he could distinguish in the corner the dark figure of a presence standing there. And with an unearthly voice, this presence said, I know who you are, one of the all, and I am going to oppose you, and I am going to fight against you until I destroy you. And my father screamed, and my mother, who was in another room of the house, she was expecting my oldest sister that was large with child. She didn't know what was going on. She opened the door and stepped into the room. And without my father even having an opportunity to prepare her, she felt that awesome presence and she screamed. I want you to know, dear children, we're not here alone. In this atmosphere around us, and all around this building, are angelic powers, and also dark powers from ahead that are circling around us tonight. Go ahead, cold, backslidden Pentecostal, keep drifting from one week to the next, but we are fighting an awesome power. And the reason some of you have no victory is because you do not pray. Let's lift our hands and talk to God for this moment. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 The power of this opposition. I want to remind you that there were other times when Daniel prayed that he was able to get through immediately, and there was an instantaneous response. But not all battles are exactly the same. Some you're going to win in just a short while, and some you will fight for a long time. We will also face such forces. If there was such a spirit of opposition in the day of Daniel, so great that it was able to hold up an archangel of the living God for 21 days, what do you think is going on in this world today? Oh, Jesus, help me to preach tonight. Help me to preach tonight. I believe that the enemy has concentrated his efforts, especially on the United States of America. I'm not just trying to be spooky. I'm trying to alert you to a very real problem. The United States, which is the leader of the free world, that everybody else tries to imitate and emulate. Don't you think the enemy has concentrated his efforts here? The United States, from which tens of thousands of missionaries have left to go around the world with the gospel. Don't you think the devil hates this country? Now I'm really going to wander into some dangerous ground. This is just me now. Don't take this for doctrine. Just take it from my feet. If you don't like it, throw it away. But we are living in a society which we are being bombarded everywhere by all kinds of stimulation and influences. Praise the Lord. Unseen in this air tonight are radio signals and television signals that are being beamed out at all times, 24 hours a day. You don't know it's there until you turn on a receiver and suddenly it receives it. I don't know if any of that is able to touch our natural minds, but I wonder sometimes, because of all the powers and the forces we have to meet and fight against, if we aren't somehow bombarded by this constant array of signals shooting around us at all times, 24 hours a day. No wonder we're fighting spiritual loss like we've never fought before. No wonder we're fighting immorality like we've never fought it before. No wonder we're fighting wilderness and carnality. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, everything you do, it is there in front of you. We are fighting an awesome power. And some of you think you're going to be able to conquer it with a 5-minute prayer just before church. Some of you think you're going to be able to conquer it with a 9-day lay down to sleep. Some of you think you're going to be able to conquer it with just a little blessing over your meal. I've got news for you. The only way you can have an effect against this power of opposition is finding your knees again and praying like you never prayed before. We're all going to have our kings of Persia to fight. Though there might be times when the angel of deliverance may be in that line that I'm running in, take 21 days there. Or Daniel would have just been picked over bones. And so the angel made it through immediately. But there are some things, some requests that we will make of God, and some battles that we fight that are going to require more time and struggle. In this push-button society, you're not always going to be able to come to church and flip the light switches and have everything happen for you. You're not just going to be able to walk in and turn it on and it's going to be there. This is not a computer that when you hit the right keys, everything happens. This is a fight. This is a struggle. This is a battle. And sometimes you break through the victory almost immediately. But other times you feel like you're beating your head against the wall day after day after day. Hallelujah. Are you quieting down? Look at me, come some. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want revival, but we want it to happen on demand. Just because we've scheduled an evangelist, we want it to happen right then and there. Oh Lord, here comes another pet peeve of mine. In this day, we've reached the time when people have their little 2, 3, and 4 day revival meetings. I know sometimes we have those, but that's all some folks want anymore. They don't want a revival, they want an injection. They want a booster shot that will help make them through, or get them through for another few weeks or so. But I'm telling you, what this generation needs is a revival that will turn it on its ears. And it's not going to come with just a people that will pray. It's going to come with saints getting out of their places and saying, oh God, would you stand? Victory! Would you stand now? Be somebody in the chaos. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, give us people that are willing to spend hours and days seeking after the Lord, saying, God, we can't do without it. We've got to have it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We don't need just a little surge in our numbers. We need revival that will turn us upside down, inside out. What we want to do without any effort, without any energy, without any struggle, it's not going to happen. The kings of Persia are there to stuff out anything we try to do, to choke every service, to strangle every prayer, to wipe every praise off of our lips. But I'm here to tell you, every time you come to church, it's a battle. Pray, break through, and against it, just somehow we get to the victory. Some things the enemy is going to resist fiercely. Fiercely. Hallelujah. You ever wonder why people backslide right there in revival? When you declare war on the devil, he doesn't take it sitting down. The likelihood of you backsliding is greatest during revival than any other time. Because that's when the battle lines are drawn. That's when the forces clash together. That's when there are casualties. That's when there are the wounded. And that's when there are the dead. Praise the Lord! We want to have blessings from God and answers from heaven and do it on the sly without the kings of Persia knowing it. Oh, your family was shaken. When you say, give us revival, give me a blessing, give me a brand new township, the forces of the air are alerted, and they are going to fight and oppose with everything they've got. Hallelujah. We had better be prepared for unexpected delays. And it does not mean that God has failed or is unable. It just means that there is a prince of the air. I know that's oversimplifying it. There's a lot of other factors that come into it. But all other things being equal, that is the reason why it's not always going to happen. We are living in a day in Pentecost again when people do not want to pay the price. I'll say it again just because some folks don't like it. We're living again in a day of Pentecost when people do not want to pay the price. Amen. We'll say, let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. And our hands go up and immediately start that down. We look like wilted lettuce sometimes. I know people work hard, and I understand all of that. I can't cover all my ground tonight and cover all my tracks, but I'm telling you, we've got to reach a point where we say, I will not be denied. Oh, Jesus. I remember years ago, I was in the church here. Old building up front. I used to go there as often as I could in the morning and at night to pray. And of course it was a building similar to this with no windows. Except the doors didn't filter in any light. It was dark, friend. And I don't know who engineered that, Brother Stan. But the light switches didn't work. And you had to turn all the lights on by the circuit breakers way back in the corner of Brother Sal's office. And whenever you walked into that dark building, you couldn't just reach right inside the door and flip on a light. It wouldn't work. You had to feel your way through the darkness. Now you know the devil knows why you're there. You come to pray. And you're walking in this pitch black darkness, feeling your way around, stumbling and falling over things. We used to set chairs out and pray for people in those chairs. Remember that? Well, they didn't always put the chairs away. Sometimes they were still there, and you followed them, and you think the devil sure enough had. And you feel your way back to the corner and find the door to the office. And Brother Sproul's office was never a model of neatness and order. I don't know how many desks he had in that place. There were two or three, besides chairs all scattered around. And you had to navigate your way through all of that and finally find the back panel and count blindly down the switches till you found the right one. Then you join them in prayer, wait for you, victory, victory, victory. And then, after you felt like you whipped the devil and got the victory, you have to go back in there and turn those lights off and find your way back out.
That's right.
And you just knew that any moment, something's going to jump out and grab you and say, gotcha. Sometimes you can feel it. You know, Brother Evans was talking today about what it's like at a camp meeting when everybody's gone. Nothing more spooky than an empty church building. Especially right after you got the victory. And you felt like you just spent a good, healthy season in prayer. And that old building's creaking. And you just know that old devil's there. Well, let me tell you, nothing did happen that way. As far as him reaching out physically and getting a hold of me. Hallelujah. But nevertheless, that power was there. And that power is here. And that's what we're fighting against. It's not time to be complacent. It's not time to take the ease. It's not time to be wishy-washy and be flimsy and feeble. It's time to get our feet, set our feet, draw our sword, and fight the devil like we never have before. Taking the pains to let us know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. I've got news for you. Do you notice the word wrestling? That means we're not shadow boxing. We're not darting into the center of the ring and throwing a punch and then jumping back. Wrestling is very physical. Yeah. It's very involved. You lock arm in arm and leg in leg.
to what is wrestling. You don't know who's on top, who's on the bottom. The dust is flying. Arms and legs are everywhere. That's the kind of mortal combat we're watching tonight. Wrestling by the expression of blood, but against physicality and power.
I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't tell this often. It usually spooks the kids, and I don't want to do that. When I was 11 years old, woke up in the middle of the night and heard footsteps come into my room. When I looked again, there was a dark visitor standing there. Sat down across the room from me and glared. This was not a dream. This really happened. I looked at him, my little young mind. I knew what was happening. I felt a paralyzing fear seize me to where I couldn't even speak. And I stared bug-eyed at this strange visitor. And I was praying in my mind, in my thoughts, somehow for God to give me strength. And finally, I felt my tongue loosen enough to where I screamed out the words, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." That dark visitor threw up his hands and screamed and leaped to his feet and darted out of the room. And it taught that little 11-year-old boy, "Hallelujah, there is no power can conquer us without